Welcome to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we're using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Now, here's your host, national best-selling author and president of Gospel Light Society International, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 61 of the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Our scripture passage for today is Jeremiah 17:7, which reads, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Our History of Black Americans and the Black Church quote for today is from Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings was buried yesterday. He died recently. But today, our History of Black Americans and the Black Church quote is from none other than Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. said about the church, "The church must be the guide. The church must be the guide and the critic of the state, and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority." Ladies and gentlemen, in this podcast, we are using as our texts From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the USA by Dr. William A. Banks. Our first topic for today is titled Slavery in Mainland Latin America, Part 5, from the book From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin. The absence of a considerable population of blacks in modern Uruguay and Argentina does not mean that Spain neglected to furnish these colonies with African slaves. Instead, it is suggestive of the remarkable biological and cultural fusion that occurred. Montevideo and Buenos Aires were major ports of entry for slave traders during colonial days. While there are no figures available for the total African population of the Viceroyalty of La Plata, there can be no doubt that there was a large population of blacks, especially in the area of the estuary of the Rio de la Plata, A contemporary estimated that in 1805 about 2,500 slaves were being imported annually. In 1803, the black population of Montevideo was 1,040 out of a total of 4,726. There is every indication that Buenos Aires also had a substantial black population. As late as 1827, there were 7 African societies in the Argentine capital. The disappearance of Africans in the southern part of South America is an eloquent testimony of the complete absorption of a people by the tremendous migration of Europeans that occurred in the last century. It was only natural that the Portuguese, the first to sense the importance of African slave labor, would undertake to provide their New World empire with Africans. Although they made extensive use of Indian labor throughout the 16th century, they introduced Africans into Brazil as early as 1538, when the first shipment from the Guinea coast reached Bahia. It was the introduction of sugar into the colony about 1,540 that stimulated the importation of Africans, and after that time, the slave trade continued unabated. During the period of Spanish control, 1580 through 1640, the slave trade to Brazil greatly accelerated. In 1585, there were 14,000 slaves in the colony out of a population of 57,000. Toward the end of the century, the Spaniards brought in large numbers of slaves from Guinea-Bissau, Thom, Mozambique, and other parts of Africa, though there was a tendency for them to be concentrated in Pernambuco, Bahia, and Rio de Janeiro. They fanned out in various directions as sugar and coffee plantations were developed in the fertile interior valleys. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our second topic for today is Negro Religion in the City, Part 10, Religion in the Storefront Church, Part 2, from the Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier. The Storefront Church represents an attempt on the part of the migrants, especially from the rural areas of the South, to reestablish a type of church in the urban environment to which they were accustomed. They want a church, first of all, in which they are known as people. In the large city church, they lose their identity completely, and as many of the migrants from the rural South have said, neither the church members nor the pastor know them personally. Sometimes they complain with bitterness that the pastor of the large city church knows them only as the number on the envelope in which they place their dues. In wanting to be treated as human beings, they want status in the church, which was the main or only organization in the South in which they had status. Some of the statements concerning their reason for leaving the big denominational churches was that back home in the South they had a seat in the church that everyone recognized as theirs, and that if the seat were empty on Sunday, the pastor came to their homes to find out the cause of their absence. dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our third and final topic for today is from the Black Church in the U.S., its origin, growth, contributions, and outlook by Dr. William A. Banks. Today we are looking at Part 4, Chapter 5, Radicalism, 1915 through 1953. Baptists, Part 2. Baptists, constituting the vast majority of Negroes, were accustomed to local autonomy, and their congregations provided the perfect medium for the free airing of personal disappointments, discontent, and disillusionment, dashed hopes, feuds, factions, and fights created Negro politicians. In this atmosphere of tension, the Baptist preacher arose as the master politician who continued as the leader of the people by diverting them from their external failures in society through practical politics in a religious setting. Since 1915, the heavy concentration of Negroes in the South has been largely denied the privilege of political expression. The local congregation has filled this need and has created through city, county, state, and National Baptist Associations a political outlet for the Negro. The explosion, which created two national conventions, continued down through county, state, city, and local bodies. On the local level, this division of Baptists persists, partly because the external forces have not substantially changed, and partly because splits are the habitual way of Negro Baptists, and I would add white Baptists too. Be that as it may, if the Lord tarries his coming, my beloved, and we live, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, to not repeat the past so that we can improve and be better in the future, or we will all be doomed. We pray that through it all, lost souls will be saved, Christians will be revived, your holy name would be glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the name and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Now, in closing, allow me to say that, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people whom I grew up around said being saved was, I now know, is wrong according to the Bible. For example, joining the church, being baptized, doing good things, good works, or being a good person or trying to be one, does not mean you are saved and will not get you saved. I wrote an article about this matter titled On Being Saved in Black America some years ago, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, GospelLightSociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is.
Thank you for listening to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.